More news this weekend when it comes to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia has taken the presidency of the UN Security Council, which, of course, is leading to criticism as its invasion of Ukraine continues into a second year. Now, each of the Security Council's 15 members takes up a presidency for a month on a rotating pattern. But last time Russia had this presidency, it was February 2022. That's when it launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. A move also going ahead despite Ukraine urging members to block the vote. Joining us to chat about that this morning is John Packer, professor of law at the University of Ottawa and director of Human Rights Research and Education Center. John, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Just at first blush, obviously, I think everybody kind of, rolls their eyes at this in the idea of the UN Security Council here. I know the UN Security Council has, protocols and things like that, but, how bad of a look is this for the Security Council?
Oh, well, it's one of a string of bad looks for quite a while. But this is indicative of the world in which we're living right now, very, divided and unfortunately with a number of powerful states, including members of the Security Council, not fulfilling all their obligations. And in fact, in this case, clearly acting contrary to not only their obligations, but to the whole thrust of the United Nations. So it's quite problematical.
And you mentioned kind of a long list as well. We've heard of issues with China and Russia in the past as well. Just in your opinion, does this, put a blight on the UN and some of its work that it is trying to do around the world?
Well, certainly it's problematical in the sense that the presidency of the council, and the council is both a political and a legal body. It determines itself through its votes what constitute threats to peace and security. That's the fundamental, raison d'etre of the whole organization. So having Russia in the presidency, which means that they essentially control the agenda and they have power to decide certain sessions and so forth, there's almost no way that they're going to talk about anything happening in the Ukraine situation during this month. And we know what happened a year ago. They launched an invasion. And there's a lot of concern right now, for example, about the movement of tactical nuclear weapons into Belarus this month. That would be a kind of subject that would normally be addressed at the Security Council. And, right now, I highly doubt it. States may mention it. Member states may mention it. But, the prospect of a serious debate or a resolution, I would say, is off the table for a month.
And we have heard of those, continued possibilities of use of nuclear weapons as well. Just, I guess, from a perspective of where can countries or member states kind of make more use of their time in terms of trying to get to the bottom or trying to address Russia in this way? If the UN Security Council is not a body to do this, I guess where else?
Well, what has been happening the last year, and I would say it's welcome development, is there has been a return to looking at the General Assembly and to empowering it in some ways. For example, there's the new process, which was initiated by a tiny state, Liechtenstein, but got the support of the member states, that any state that uses a veto, in respect of something that's implicated, has to explain that veto to the General Assembly. Now, listeners may think, well, who cares about that? if you abuse power and there's kind of no sanction. Yeah, but it raises the cost politically. I think the basic question you've posed is a very important one. And a lot of people are now thinking, the limits of the United Nations, the whole structure. The charter was developed almost 80 years ago, and the idea was not what we're seeing now. So, we've come to this point.
Well, on the flip side, I also want to throw out as well, Russian President Vladimir Putin, he clearly knows how to play this game.
Oh, more than he knows. I mean, his foreign minister, Lavrov, I met him in 1992. He became, he was first appointed as the ambassador. He spent 18 years as the permanent rep to the United Nations, and then he became foreign minister since then. So we're talking about extremely experienced, well-trained people who are, every little rule, every little trick, and frankly, they can run circles around, a number of, for example, Western governments have rotating systems of staff and so forth. So yes, this is, they're playing the game to their advantage.
And there's been many calls. There has been calls for a challenge, perhaps, to the status of Russia when it comes to the UN Security Council as well. We've had an arrest warrant issued by the International Criminal Court for Putin. There's a UN resolution calling for Russia's immediate withdrawal from Ukraine. So, you know, there has been pressure, I guess, from the international community as well. But do you think it is time to at least revisit Russia's status on the Security Council or possibly in the UN?
Well, that's already been raised. And the Ukrainian, both foreign minister and ambassador to the United Nations have both vociferously and with argument made their points. But there really is, this has been looked at carefully, and really there is no way to remove a state, and certainly not from the Security Council. They possess a veto on these kind of questions. I mean, that's the way the system was built, unfortunately. So, no, I think that's not a fruitful approach other than to draw public, you know, public displeasure. I think really people are now talking about, and this is important, a reform of the whole Security Council regime. And that would bring it up to kind of speed in terms of the way the world is today.
And just for context, I believe, I could be wrong here, but in the past of my reading, it's my understanding that when the Soviet Union collapsed, that it was actually Russia just kind of inherited the Soviet Union status at the UN. It was never actually formally welcomed into the UN.
Well, that's not quite correct. That's okay. An argument that's made. The Soviet Union collapsed, and then there was a succession, and Russia succeeded, and there are treaties which confirm this, including with Ukraine, by the way, that Russia became a successor state, and it was it did take the seat and so forth. And then for the last 30 years, 30-plus years, this has been supported. I mean, there's a principle in law, but also, I think, in life, that, you know, when everyone else accepts that this kind of conduct goes on, you can't kind of a third of a century later say, hey, by the way, we'd like to change that now. So, but there is actually no way to really do that unless there would be votes, and ultimately the vote would come down to a veto of the Russian Federation. So it's really not a practical approach.
And I appreciate you letting me pick your brain on that process as well. Just when it comes to the kind of the 40,000 feet view of this point, I mentioned that we are heading into the second year of the invasion here. Do you see any signs of stopping at this point from Russian President Vladimir Putin?
Well, my personal view and experience is that he's all in, right? I mean, he's all in not only in terms of the Russian Federation, but his personal future. And that's a pretty harsh context in which he's working. So what I actually think is that this is not going to move that much further forward. It's probably going to get very bogged down, as it appears it already is. And this will slowly drain his own position and resources. And there's, you know, more and more reports about disgruntled people within Russia. And my own suspicion is that a point will come at which this is too costly for everyone around him. And, you know, we'll see how long he can survive. Unfortunately, you know, the history of bad guys in this context is that they tend to survive quite a while.
We've seen it. History repeat itself on that front. But we'll, of course, be watching and continuing to watch. But, John, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate your analysis this morning.
You're welcome.
John Packer with the University of Ottawa. Some fantastic analysis. Just chatting about that idea that Russia has been assuming, or it has assumed, its UN Security Council presidency on that rotating basis this weekend, despite lots of criticism, of course. The last time it held this position, it invaded Ukraine. Full-scale invasion. But John Packer, Director of Human Rights Research and Education Center, we welcome and thank him for his time this morning on that issue.